First Corinthians, chapter 1. Together, I hope. I'll read the scripture, 5 verses, and I'll share what God put upon my heart. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in 26. For consider your calling, brethren. There were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the them from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen. Thank you for your word, Lord. Well, while I was in Maine 2 weeks ago, the Lord spoke some things, and I'm going to share one of those things today. Actually, he spoke 4 words to me. The least of these is what he said. And as it always happens, God will take me from the general sense. I had a general understanding of what he meant when that was spoken, to the particulars or to the more personal aspects of what the word was saying. Now, it's no secret to us that when God chose people in the Bible, and we read those stories and their struggles, but when they heard the word, they made excuses, they looked at their inadequacies, and try to say the reasons why it could not be, or maybe God is there somebody behind me? Are you speaking to somebody else? No, he was speaking to them. And they thought they weren't qualified, or even second-guessed him, thinking they weren't the best choice for the position or the mission. Moses, Gideon, Saul readily come to mind as notable examples. And the verse, I have a lot of scripture today. That's a good thing. And so even in my introduction here, the Lord was being very generous to me yesterday as I prepared and sat before him. A verse that speaks to this is 1 Samuel 16:7. For God sees not as man sees, but he looks at the heart. He looks at your heart and at my heart. This word that was spoken in Samuel was before Samuel anointed David as a sign of God's choice in verse 13 to replace Saul. And it actually recorded this in 1 Samuel 9 of Saul, records God's choice of Saul to be king after Samuel spoke, another example. And Saul responds in 1 Samuel 9:21, don't need to go there. Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families? Why then do you speak to me in this way? And if you're honest with yourself and with the Lord, you will acknowledge that when God speaks things to you, oftentimes your first response is, oh no, that can't be, or I'm not qualified. Something along those lines. And God is going to shatter all your excuses today. All your why nots are going to be put in the grave today. Because the only qualification that matters is that you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. When you said yes to God on the day of salvation, He came in. He doesn't leave when you have a bad day. Hello? When you sin, when you mess up, He doesn't say, you know, I'm not comfortable living in this one. Got to get rid of those lies. Send them back where they belong. So 1 Samuel 10, after Samuel was anointed, Samuel anointed and prophesied over Saul, he said he would be changed into another man. When God speaks to you and I a life-giving word, His word, it carries with it all the power to see it through. Not maybe, not might be, yes and amen. It carries with it the power and it releases the provision to make it so. Changed into another man. And so subsequently, Saul begins to prophesy, which he'd never done before, and so forth. These are very good chapters to read and encourage yourself in the faith. And in verse 22, after he'd been anointed, after he'd been identified, after he'd been prophesied over, where do we find Saul? Hiding with the baggage. Now, this verse has particular meaning to me. Most of you probably don't know why or don't remember why. But when God called me to pastor this church, I tried to run and hide with the baggage. And Brother Jim Kakuza, one of our presbyters, spoke that word to me. The elders know because they were in the room. I didn't desire to be pastor. I didn't want to be pastor. But I had to come to grips with the fact that I was God's choice. It was not about whether I thought I could do it or I was qualified. God said I was. And when I really cried uncle, or Jesus as the case may be, was when I realized that God trusted me. He trusted me to be pastor. It broke me. You have to get to that point in your life and stop making excuses that God can't use you. He can and He will. But it's up to you to not run and hide with the baggage or somewhere else. But allow Him through the work of the Holy Spirit to do the hard work that needs to be done to get you from where He accepts you to how He sees you and where He wants to bring you. He's brought me a long way. And guess what? I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm going to get there. because he will see to it, because he's faithful, and he never goes back on his word. I could probably stop right here. That's a message in and of itself this morning. But he's given me a lot more. So I had to come. It was necessary for me to agree and accept his decision, which is what something that we all have to do. Stop looking at ourselves and look at the one who qualifies us, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-ever-faithful, awesome God who called us by his mercy and grace. Not just to be saved, but because we were born for a reason. We were created to do a work to bring him glory. Yes, we were created to worship him and many other things, but he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we need to keep that always in the forefront. What an awesome thing God did when he revealed his awesome love to each and every one of us. So the title of this morning's message, Choosing and Using the Least of These. That's what God does. So you better get with his program, because he hasn't changed his mind. Choosing and using the least of these. Now those verses in 1 Corinthians start with, consider your calling. Consider. That word really means see. Look at it. Not has God called you, but look at what he's called you to do. Another good sign. Faucet has started. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. That means God doesn't change his mind. God knows that you can and you will do what he's called you to do. It's not about how much resistance. It's not about the challenges or the impossibilities that you face. It's about the God who lives within you and the grace he will provide for you to persevere and finish the race. 2 Timothy 1:9, you have a holy calling. Hebrews 3:1, you have a heavenly calling. And elsewhere in the scriptures, just highlight how important it is to him and what an awesome thing he's done when you came into the kingdom of God. So I'm finally at point number one. Whew. We'll get there. If I stay close to the pulpit, I'll finish in 30 minutes. I won't guarantee that, though. Number one, he's chosen the foolish things. The foolish things. That word is defined, foolish is absurd, ridiculous, ludicrous. Why did he call you to do a certain thing? Why did he call me? I know it's foolish. You think it's foolish. I think it's foolish at times until I reflect on who he is. You know, I wish Jill was here this morning, because she shared with us how difficult, last week I believe, how difficult it is for her to do public speaking. And she's not the only one. There's many in this room that struggle. with that. But I was, as I was preparing, I was remembering and smiling when I was first in preaching class at Bible school. And, you know, there was a lot of mostly men, a few women, there that were, it was undebatable that they were called to preach the gospel. And here I was, I had no confidence. I had a life of rejection. I was terrified of public speaking. Even at the thought of it, even in preaching class, these are my peers. I used to sweat bullets. I mean, my t-shirt was soaked. Even at the thought of having to share in front of my peers. I'm serious. This is who God has called to preach the gospel. I am a demonstration of his power and his grace. And I will honor him as long as I have breath. I will preach the gospel. But that was my start. This should give some of you hope. All of you hope. If we allow God to do the work, and it was a long road, I am sure I was, if there was a vote taken, would probably have been voted the least likely to succeed as a pastor or a preacher. And yet many of those men that are in my class are no longer not only preaching the gospel, they're not even serving the Lord. That's a tragedy. The ones that I know of. But he said it, I received it, and I've been walking in that calling that he gave to me, that he envisioned for me. And honestly, I felt like it was a foolish choice. I did. I don't anymore, because I walk by faith, not by sight. I don't hold on to my feelings. I don't worry whether you'll accept what I have to say or don't accept it. If God doesn't anoint it, I've told a number of people this, it doesn't matter what I say. If he doesn't anoint it, I'm wasting my time. God does the anointing. He can anoint a donkey. And he has and he will. To speak what needs to be spoken. So, greater is he that's in me. That's what keeps me going. 1 John 4:4. And also James 4:6. He gives a greater grace. When you think you can't go on, when you think you've missed it, you've blown it, you've committed the unforgivable, he gives a greater grace. That's who he is. First Corinthians 1:25, the foolishness, same word here for fool, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become foolish that he may become wise. Sounds like a riddle. God will do it. So we need to accept, you need to accept who you are, foolish in the sight of man. Many of them think you're foolish, serving the Lord, sharing his word, sharing your testimony. They think you're foolish. God thinks you're wise. Doesn't matter what they think. Does it? I don't think so. need to accept who you are and draw upon the rich wisdom of Jesus Christ. Secondly, he's chosen the weak things. The dictionary defines weak as deficient in physical vigor, feeble, not able to resist external force or attack, not able to function properly, implying deficiency or inferiority in strength or power of any sort, vulnerable, exposed, powerless. Most of those things fit on you and I, but for the grace and power of God that nullifies all those things that we once were. Chosen the weak things. Matthew 26:41. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of you know what that means? It means you don't want to do it, and you make excuses, but the Spirit of God is rising up in you and saying, no can do. In other words, your attitude. You really can do it, and you have to allow faith to come to the forefront and kick fear into the back seat. Romans 5:6. For while we were still helpless, that's the same word for weak in 1 Corinthians 1. While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And the Amplified reads this way. While we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves. He loved you anyway. He believed in you anyway. He trusted you anyway. So, need to look at his strength and his faithfulness and not at your weakness. Paul understood this when he said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, when we acknowledge it's too much. This is too much, Lord. I can't do it. You need to do it. You need to come to my aid. Well, that's when you're strong, when you're weak. Choosing and using the least of these. I'm among the least of these. How about you? Number three, he's chosen the base things. That word base means low in place or position, paltry, trifling, worthlessness, cowardly, chicken-hearted. The idea is unworthy or worthless, full of fear, and useless to the Lord, which is a lie. He's chosen the base things. To use, you know, I'm enjoying watching the World Series right now. I put my money on Cleveland if I was a betting man. Even before the series started, I'm enjoying watching it. So here's a little baseball talk for you that speaks to this idea of being worthless or base. Can't run to first base. Can't get a hit. Can't catch a ball. Second or third string on the bench. Out of the game. Loser. Second Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, which are listed in verses 5 to 8 in that passage, you will never stumble. And I would add, you will have the faith to persevere for his honor and glory. 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, from the previous verses 16 to 18, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and I would say prepared by the Holy Spirit, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. And you will appreciate this one, Barbara, because what I saw was prepared. You know what the word paired means? It means cut down to size. When you pare an apple, you use a peeler or a potato. You peel it. You get down to what is important. And so to be prepared means you are humbled. God humbles you. He cuts you down to size. In other words, prepared for every good work, useful to the master. So we need to allow him to do a transforming work so your work and my work will bring honor and glory to his name. Number four, he's chosen the despised things. Verse 28. Despised, to look down on with contempt or aversion, to regard as negligible, worthless, distasteful, any emotion ranging from indifference to loathing. Well, Jesus experienced the very same things and more than you and I do. Acts 4:11. He is the stone which was rejected. That's the same word as despised in 1 Corinthians 1. He was the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone. Talking about Jesus here, obviously. So, for us, 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one look down on your youthfulness or any qualification or lack of that you think or they think you have or don't have. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe and who trust in the Lord to complete the work that he started in each of us. So we never need to apologize for who we are or for the gift of God that is within us, that we were created and gifted and empowered with. It doesn't matter if they don't accept it or don't understand it. That's their issue, not your issue. Or don't make it your issue, I should say. Choosing and using the least of these. And for your study pleasure, we're not going there. Those of you who'd like to take notes, Romans 1:16, 2 Timothy 1:12, 2 Timothy 2:15. All speaks about not making an apology for who we are, for what God has called us to do. And number five, I call this one, he's chosen what he's chosen, or he's chosen the impossible and the improbable. That's you, and that's me. From verse 28, where it says, he's chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. What it's speaking about here is that which you lack, which he and he alone can and will supply for the mission or the position he calls you to. 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about being transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory. We love it when God does things instantly, right? Especially because we're in an instant gratification society, fast food mentality. We want it now. We don't want to have to fuss about it. We just want it. Well, being transformed from glory to glory isn't like that, and it never will be like that. Because when you're transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ, it means doing a deep work. It means rooting out deep-seated things. You know, I can laugh now, but it wasn't funny then. I actually was told I would never amount to anything. You know what those kind of words do? They kill, they wound, they destroy, but for God. You might as well quit now. You're wasting your time because you're never going to amount to anything. That's not God's testimony of me. That's not God's testimony of any of you either. Romans 4:17. Really study verses 16 to 21. And it talks about this concept. When it says he calls, verse 17, he calls into being that which does not exist. How can that be? Because he's God. I hope you're glad about that. I hope he can do, I hope you believe that he can do what he says he will do in your life. He's the God of the impossible and the improbable. He delights in doing these things for us. It speaks, likewise, by faith we need to speak the direction by the direction and power of Holy Spirit to your mountains. To your mountains. Anybody have mountains today? Anybody have impossibles and improbables today? By the power and direction of the Holy Spirit, we can and should speak to those things. And the scripture says they will be removed. By faith. But it requires us to exercise the authority of the risen Christ. That one who chose us. That one who gave us the Holy Spirit that empowers us will back us up when we step into our God-given authority. And I'll close with Ephesians 3. 20 to 21. Wow, I'm flying today. Yahoo! It's only 11:15. I got another 15 or 20 minutes. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him. Who's him? Who's him? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. I don't know about you, but I can think of some pretty wild things. I have a pretty wild imagination of what God can do. The scripture says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works within us. Not some external thing, but an internal thing. The very power of God living inside of us, within us. To him be the glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, I hope you're hearing something today. He's chosen to use you. He's chosen to use the least of these. It's not often the most qualified according to the standards of the world. It's the one who said, the one who says, yes, here am I, Lord, send me. And you did make it today, after all. Did you hear what I said before about public speaking? Well, listen to the CD. God has chosen you. Do you understand this? He's chosen you. You know, it's like the Uncle Sam poster for the military. He wants you. He wants you. He could do it. He's powerful to do it. He could have done it any other way. But he's chosen to these clay vessels to put treasure in them. Treasure that the world doesn't understand. They don't understand the power that you carry within you to affect change, to bring healing, redemption, to change the world. That's the power you have within you. To change the world, to change the political system. You know, it's not just about casting your vote on November 8th. It's about changing the corrupt system that's been going on and on and on and on. And God is calling a people that are going to say, enough. It is enough. No more. That will exercise their God-given authority and pray and fast and speak the word of God. And things will change. We don't have to accept what we have today. Oh, that's the law. Well, we can change the law. Abortion doesn't have to be the law of the land. We can change that. When we raise up, and that's how we started with Rich about righteousness, raising the banner of righteousness in this nation starts with your community, starts on a local level. Choosing and using the least of these. I better quit because I'm still fired up. So I release you to the fullness of all that God has for you today, tomorrow, and forever. In Jesus' name.